Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All right. Y'all ready for the word? Well, come on, Brother Mike Duncan, open this word and let us hear the word of God.
Hallelujah. That's a blessing. I forgot. Let me get something right quick. Y'all know how I get sometimes. A lot of times. Whew. I tell you, if I had to write down the songs for this morning, I couldn't have done it. But God did. Everyone, Charlie, everything is just hitting right in alignment of what the Word of God wants to do here today. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. We get off of that. We don't. It says that all sins are permissible and forgiven except the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He's what we have. He is tangible. He is the life. You see, the breath. Man, how we sing the breath. You're going to hear that more. The breath. These are words that we're going to hear today. Breath, life, living water, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. All these, it's the same. Same. When you start getting into the Hebrew and you start getting into the Greek and the depth of God's word, of who He is and what He's given to you, it's all in the same lingo, the same word, the same context, all these things. And I believe that we have to have the power of the Holy Ghost. We do have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have everything that we need. It's been given to us. It's been given to every single one of us. You know, and the things that we're talking about, and Charlie said, I need it. Man, we know we're praying for healing. We're praying for miracles. We're praying for these things right now for our brothers, our sisters, for our family. And I'm telling you, when I'm looking around, and I know that this, through experience, through things of traveling, and just since God just busted my head and tore my heart apart. I'd like to see when He burnt me. You know, I believe everything, man. I believe every single thing. I believe it. I believe that I can pray for people and they be healed. I believe that I can prophesy and it will be fulfilled. I believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. So why do we not see more? There's one word that in the Greek, and I pray I can just—I don't butcher it up too much. Aphaseis. Aphaseis. And I think that is a word, is a key word that we're missing. And I believe if we can take that key and we can put it into what we're doing right here today, we can unlock the Holy Ghost. Because that word, aphaseis, means forgiveness. Forgiveness. And if we have that aphaseis, you know what it means? You know what it means? Let me go ahead and just put it in there. Maybe I'm putting the end at the beginning at the end, but praise God, it's all the same in the Lord. To leave bondage. Amen. To leave bondage. Forgiveness. Aphaseis. To leave bondage. No longer are we of the bond servant or the bondage woman of the world. We're not in bonds anymore. We're not enslaved anymore. Jesus said, I come, the Son who sets free is free indeed. A Luther Rowe. We're talking about breath this morning. It's your breath in our lungs. I got some notes. I'm going to use some of them. That'd probably be wise. Because, he's a God of order. You know, he pours so much out on me, and I can just pour it out on you again. We got the end and the beginning and the end, but we got to make some. It's going to be in order. Because without an order, we just bouncing all the way around. And I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit told me this morning. Oh, you're going to step on some toes. But you know what the Holy Spirit said? He said, I'm not into stepping on toes. I'm into penetrating hearts. Because that's what it takes. That's what it takes. So when this creation, this earth that was dark and void, it says the Holy Spirit was hovering. And it said, God said, let it be light. And guess what happened? There was light. See, this is the sort of things that we need to be moving in. Wow, that's big. Yeah, he's big. And the Holy Ghost is big that lives inside of you. That's big. That's big in itself. How does something so vast can come into something so small? So fragile, too, and not just ruin it. But he does ruin you when he comes in. He destroys you and brings you life. He destroys death. He destroys sickness and brings life. See, in the beginning, he said over there, let there be light. But he goes on and he says what? He says over in the book, the end of chapter 1, he says, well, let's make man in our image. And he said, and he did. Then over in chapter 2 of Genesis over there, let's just go right 2:7. If Justin can bring it up, whatever, we can flow. If you got your word. I know this day and age of technology, we got our phones, we got apps for that. And I say it over and over. I don't know. It's just, I got several of these right here. It's like when the Holy Ghost comes in and he becomes tangible. Something that you could get a hold of. Something that you can mark in. Something that you can journalize in. Something that you can reference. Something you can go back. I was talking to somebody, hey, you remember all this? Listen, it's like when I'm reading this word and we was ministering Wednesday night and I said, man, I had a different Bible than I did when I got the revelation. Then I was like, man, I can't even find it. Where is it at? Because I'm seeing the Bible that I was in that God gave me the revelation. He brought it to life, right? So I got a different sword. I got a different Bible in my hand. So I'm like, well, where's it at? No, it was this part. Because when you visualize it on that page, you know, it kind of sears into your heart. It kind of becomes one with you. So then it's like, wow, how's it get in here? I'm telling you, if it doesn't get in you, it cannot come out of you. Why do we need the breath of God? Because he says over here in 2:7, then I, the Lord God, formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul or being. It's his breath in my lungs. See, the word breath is, there's multiple little words in there for that breath. In the Greek, it's pneuma. You know what it also means? Breath, spirit. It's the Spirit of God inside of you that makes you alive. It's the Spirit of God inside you that makes you His child. It's the Spirit of God that's in you that makes you who you are supposed to be. Not of the flesh, but of the Spirit of God that makes you be able to move in life itself. To be able to produce life wherever you go. Remember last week we said, man, mercies and goodness will follow you to all the days of your life. And you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, but something went rogue. Something went wrong. And there was a fall, right? There's an enemy going on. There's something that's coming to what Paul said over to the Galatians that has vexed you. What has come in and kicked you off of your path. The enemy come in and there was a falling away. And it says that, the minds and the hearts of the people were all dwelling all the time on evil stuff. So God took it away, right? You know, there's another word. Here's another word that we need to look at and make sure that we start grabbing an understanding of. It's called repent. It's called repentance. And we're gonna plug that in on another scripture here in a minute so that we can break this thing on open, so we can, another key to unlock what we need to be walking in. Not just what we need, we have to. We have to. When I get a call from people I love dearly, pray for me. I don't know about y'all. I want my prayers to have weight. I want my prayers to have power. I want my prayers to do what I speak it. Just like what God said, let there be light, let there be light, let there be life. And it was. I want that. I desire that. But it's not so I can walk around and say, look what I can do. No, my goodness, you're already off if that's where your intentions are. No, that's who you are. That's who you are. Just like what Jesus said, the tree does not strive to bear fruit. It just does it. You will just do these things. You won't sit down and say, I want to watch it grow. Let's see what I'm doing. No, man. Mercy and goodness shall follow you. You keep moving. You keep speaking life. You keep doing these things because that's who you are. That's what you do. And this is what this world has had. It's got to happen. It's coming. It needs to manifest. And it's time right now. And that's what I've been praying for, that this day will be a threshold, that this will be a breakthrough, that this will be the day of all days, the days that will be marked in eternity. That's the day that that group finally got it. Started moving and becoming who they truly, truly are. My goodness. Not that I've obtained it already. No, man, there's just so much more. Oh, brother, I love this part here. We're either green and growing or ripe or rottening. But my goodness, we need to get right. We need to get right. You know what I mean? We need to grow. Now, we know that Jesus said that the Lord said over there with Noah in Genesis, we keep going. I'm just going to walk through there right quick. He went on to say over in Genesis 6, right before he bought the flood, right? There's a word there, and that repentance is where I was going to. And it said it's nakom. And that's in the Hebrew. And it says that God repented. He nakom. From even creating man. You know what that even is? You know what that even is? It's a deep sighing breath. Oh. It's what God did. Is that crazy? So he did what he did, but he found this one man in his family. He said, this one hasn't went that way. He's still where he needs to be. And I'm telling you, we have not been forgotten. We are not so far gone. He still looks down upon us because there's Jesus Christ that he sees on us. And because of Jesus Christ, we're not finished yet. We're not done. It's not over. We still have hope. There's still a time. And I believe the time is now. Why tomorrow? Why next month? Well, I'll get there eventually. My goodness. No, that's the wrong mindset. And so that's repentance too. Repentance. Metanoio. I can't even hardly run it. It's too many O's and A's and E's. Not even an A in there. But it means to change the way you think. Repent. In the Greek. Change the way you think. And in there, here's the real thing. It says, change your thinking. One of the breaks down. Change your thinking afterwards. Isn't that interesting? Change your thinking afterwards. After what? Well, you're not going to change your thinking unless you run up into something that makes you change your thinking. Why did Jesus Christ come to reveal the unknown God, the unseen God? So that there can be an event, so that there could be an encounter. Multiple things happened. Did he take the sin of the world? Yes. Praise God. Did he defeat death? Yes. Because why? He was the only one that could defeat death. He's it. Only life can conquer death. Only truth can rise up out of a lie. He had to come to reveal the kingdom, to reveal the reality and the revelation of who you really are. He had to put it on display. Did he leave it there? No, he didn't. Praise God. He said, now I'm going to go away. My goodness, Holy Ghost, keep working. He said, but I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send back the pneuma, the life, the breath of God that's full in me so it can be full in you. See, Jesus said that my spirit will not contend with man no more than 120 years. That's what was in the Old Testament there in Genesis. It's not going to be that way anymore, is what he said. You're not going to live. How long did they live? I think, it was 601 days, I think, of his life when the ark finally like hit shore and he was able to tear the top off of it. 601. I think he built the ark for like 100 years. Can you believe that? Man, we don't even know people, and it's all over social media. Somebody in California, somebody in another country, they live 100 years. It's a big deal. Well, back then it wasn't a big deal, was it? You were a baby at 100. What did Abraham do? Well, hallelujah. Yeah. He's about that life. I'm going to have some of that Abraham stuff when I get over with. I want to see some grandbabies. When you're still having babies at half a century, you better hope you get 100. It's a blessing of the Lord, though. Because look what Jesus said over in John 14. You know what he said in John 14, 6? He said, I'm going to give you back the Spirit. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you back the Spirit of God. And he's going to abide in you forever. It's reconciled. Now I can have the power, the glory, the spirit, the life of eternity in me forever. I'm never going to run out of gas again. No matter if it's $4 at the pump. It's yours. It's yours. It's paid for. That's what part of that means. And that forgiveness, part of that word also means the debt's paid. That's why the bondage is gone. It's left behind. Why aren't we seeing more and more instead of less and less of miracles, healing, signs, and wonders? I'm not talking about fabricated stuff, you know, that's kind of like put a bad taste in a lot of people, charismatic. I really didn't even know what that was for a long time, but all I knew is what God did to me, and they said, well, you're charismatic, you're Pentecostal. I said, I don't know what that means. I don't know any of that stuff. All I know, I'm just doing what God did to me, you know. But then you put the charismatic and you put the Pentecostal on it. You put all this stuff on it. You put it in a box over here. Next thing you know, you're trying to manufacture stuff. Okay? You think you got to come up with these things. You got to push people down. You got to do this thing. Man, come on. Let God do what God's going to do. You do what you're supposed to do. Take the log out of your eye. You do what you're supposed to do. Obey Him. Be transparent. Be true to Him. It says over in John 4, it says those who worship God, because He is spirit, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not in somebody's familiar spirit, but in the Holy Spirit and in the truth of Yahweh, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, hallelujah. You have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not because somebody's watching you today. Not because you think you got to perform for something right now. No, it means you work out your salvation. Jesus said over there in John 14 and 15, He says, by the word I spoke to you, you're cleansed already. So you can't take another bath. It's already done. What He said to do is abide in me. And you will bear much fruit. Fruit what? Holy Ghost fruit. Love. Kindness. Patience, self-control. You're going to bear much of it. You won't have to strive to produce these things. You will produce these things. You will see these things manifest in your life, in this kingdom. Man, in the beginning, when Jesus, look what He did. What happened to Jesus? What did He do in John 20? Don't you love this part over in John 20? Let's look at it right quick. Ruah is the breath of God. Ruah in the Hebrew. And then John 20 in verse 21. Look how Jesus broke it down. So here's Christ. He's going through all these things. He's seeing all the miracles, all these things happening, you know. Even a Roman soldier said, hey, I got a sick person. He had one of his people. The other one had a daughter, sick daughter. They come seeking Christ. And see, this is the order of faith and how things work. He said, I got a sick person. Would you? He says, come into my house. No, I'll come to your house. No, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a man of authority too. I know how things work. You just say the word, and it will be done. Come on. We don't have to run around and just go. Prayer's good. That's the communication, right? What we have. But I'm telling you, when it gets moving inside of you, and you start becoming one with God because the Spirit of God is manifesting inside of you, you just say the word, and it will be done. And we praise the Lord for it because He says, look, there's no greater faith in Israel than this man's right here because he had understanding. He understood the authority of God, who he was. He was the commander. He was the chief. He was the Lord. He could say the word and it will be done. All things were created by him and through him. There was not one thing that was created that was not created by him. Not one thing. Everything that was created had life, a breath, a seed, according to its kind. What kind are you today? If we're not producing the fruit of God, we need to make sure we get the right seed in us. We need to throw down the corruptible seed and put on the incorruptible seed, the imperishable one, the one that cannot be torn apart, the one that will grow and it will bloom and it will bear fruit. No matter if the sun comes, the leaves will stay green, and at its appointed time, it will bear fruit. This is word. But when Jesus showed back up to the disciples, the Holy Ghost have not been given back. The Spirit of God has not come back to us yet. He said over there, he says, so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Because, you know, if you're seeing a ghost or somebody who's died, you're going to be a little shaky, right? Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. What? When he had said this, he breathed on them. Just like in the beginning. And when he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Here we go. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. You were part of a revelation that come also this morning with it before we got in here? That forgiveness is so powerful. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. Let me hold on that one just for about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 more minutes. So he breathed on them. The disciples received the Holy Spirit, walk in power. What was the next stages that happened? We know that Jesus ascended, right? And Peter wasn't going to go fishing no more, was he? Not for those fish. Because he already tried to go there and pulled everybody away. Went back to what he knew. But now Jesus come back and he said, now you're going to receive it. What did he say? Satan's asked to sift you like wheat. But when you are converted, you will strengthen the brethren. So look, and where it is, afterwards. You will change the way you think afterwards. Well, there's a conversion there. Something's got to happen. There's got to be a breath of life blowed upon you. You've got to have a repentant heart. You got to say, I'm changing the way I think. I believe in you, Jesus, but now you got to have forgiveness. Because forgiveness, remember what it meant? Released from bondage. Released from bondage. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Well, the Spirit of the Lord can't come tie up in bondage. You have to know that you're free, forgiven. Then the Spirit of God can come and manifest. Lord, forgive me for all my sins and move into my heart. What's this little prayer that we teach? Man, that's good. That's good. But do you believe that? I was laying on the floor one day because I've sinned against God, man. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's on me. And I'm crying. And, oh, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I'm just snot-nosed and... forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, Lord. I'm telling you. You know what he said, you're already forgiven. I told you to repent. Change the way you think. That's not who you are anymore. Who are you? Again, it goes back to the identity crisis thing. But see, that's who the Spirit of God gives you back your identity. He's the witness. Testifies. But if we're still in bondage, we can't receive the Spirit of God. We got to be free. We got to be loosed. We got to be forgiven. What he said, whoever sins you forgiven, they are forgiven. They are gone. But if you don't forgive them, they're still in bondage. And guess what? You are too. So therefore, we not see the manifestation of the kingdom of God upon us and the power walking this earth. Peter got a hold of this thing when that conversion happened to him. And hey, what did he say to people? He said, hey, even they was coming laying sick people down in the shadows of Peter. Mercy and goodness. They're getting healed. Paul would pray over a handkerchief, take that to him. It was a tangible presence of God. The power of God was being distributed. Acts 2:38. Look at there. Let's look at Acts 2:38 real fast. Y'all know that one by heart, probably. It's a beautiful thing. So Peter, when he's converted now, he's starting to preach the good news to all the people. Spirit of God's done fell on him in the prayer room, in the upper room. He's coming out, and everybody's like, what's going on? They're accusing him of being drunk, and he's like, man, y'all are crazy fanatics. What's going on in here? It's not even half a day. Y'all already drunk. Well, these people are not drunk on wine. The presence of God, the Spirit of God, this life that they're drunk on, true life, Zoe, true life. He says, look, all these things have happened because you crucified this Christ, but look, let me tell you about this Christ. He has risen from the dead. He said, and now all of you be repent and be baptized. Every one of you for the remissions or the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift, the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, so that he can come and filtrate your heart, that he can fill that vessel full of life, so that you can be reconciled. And as they went on, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, it's a gift. It's the Spirit of God is a gift to you. That is life. And Jesus went through all those things just so you could have that back. Now look, there were so many people come to Christ. Look at what's going on. When you read the book of Acts, how many healings, how many miracles, how many things do you see that's going on? There's so many. How do we become such a strong force in the world in the beginning as babes? And how do we get so far away today? By not seeing things like this as often as there was moving then. When I was in Nepal, Kelly brought it up. We was going over reminiscing. And we were in how we was watching the show, and this guy went up into the Himalayas, and that's to Lomontong. And it's at the Tibetan border. It's very, very, it's the Buddhist capital up in there, so they call it a forbidden. It's the kingdom up there. It's just pretty infiltrated by darkness, but we got a special calling to go up there. If it wasn't, we'd probably been destroyed. About got destroyed anyway just by hiking 120 miles up there, but anyway. They had the big place up there, you know, the llama and all that stuff. But then down below, the fortress, fortified city, the citadel that was there. There was a little creek that ran down. And it was like there, the water is the sewage, the drinking water, all of it kind of flows in one spot. We know what runs downhill. So the outcast, the village is downhill. There have been people witnessing there for years trying to get in and out, but local people, it was broke off. Nobody foreigner could get in there until the 90s finally broke in, and we got in to be able to do it. So we went down. There was this lady who was in a chair. She's been there for 7 years in this chair. She was a believer. Sitting in the temple of the Buddhists and the monks and all these things here, she was a believer. The word had got to her. But yet she was still caught in her infirmities. She was still in bondage. Praise God. See Brent, brother. Good to see Kenny over there too. I seen him earlier. This woman sitting there, and we come down and we kind of break off in groups. Me and my newlywed went down and we seen her and we're praying. And man, this, you know, she's not getting up. She's not walking, not doing these things. You know, and why I'm bringing this up is because I was there just a couple days ago in my spirit and in my prayer life. I'm driving down the road and I'm crying out to God. Why can't my prayers, why can't when I say something in the name of Jesus, you said it will come to pass. Why am I not seeing these things happen right now? There's brothers, there's people who need healing right now, Lord, but I'm not seeing your word come to pass. Why? And it took me back to Nepal. And, you know, I walk off from, I leave my wife sitting there, and I just walk off because I got to deal with, me and God got to deal with something. He ain't going to deal with me, but he's going to deal with my heart. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm going to change God's mind. It's already there. But you got to learn these things. You got to learn these things about God. Getting to know, how are you going to have somebody, listen, here's the thing. Somebody don't even know God. Well, God wouldn't want you to do that. I mean, you don't even know God. Anyway, you got to get to know him. So here I am. There's a one little tree over there, like a hole in the bottom. I try to get up inside this tree on my face. God, why can't this woman get up? Why am I even here? You brought me 10,000 miles over here. I think I'm a holy guy, and I'm walking in everything that you want me to walk. I'm obedient. My goodness, I married a woman you want me to marry. I'm moving in this thing. I did what I'm doing. I'm obedient. Why can't I see you move? I mean, it was like, just like that, like a lull for a minute. It's almost like, how long do I need to put up with you, boy? He said, go, according to her faith, she'll be healed. Her faith. Yeah, your faith, there's a word. Sometimes when your stuff starts flowing, you jump back, wow, that was good, let me write that down. It's not your faith that's going to do it. It's their faith. It's our faith. It's the oneness of the faith of God that's manifested in upon us, you know. So I go back and we start praying and all this stuff. And I was like, I grabbed this woman and I looked at her. And I mean, I seen my grandmother in her eyes. I had the love of God just move. You know what I mean? So I seen my grandma and I love my grandma. So now. Life can start working. Forgiveness is in there. You're forgiven. You are no longer in those bonds. You are loved. You are loved. Jesus loves you by the name of Jesus. Rise up. Can you say hallelujah? She said, oh, you praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She said, hallelujah. And next thing you know, man, she jumps up out that chair. And this woman's walking around, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And she ain't even stood up all the way. She's still like she's in a chair walking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And she about fell down. And people, we look around and hey man, there's people in trees, climbed up in trees with videotape. videoing this stuff, and it's like, my goodness, what's going on? And she about falls over somebody, and she stops right at the right time. They look at her, and they look at her, and I'm looking at them, look at each other. She's like, hallelujah, and turn around and walk off again. Man, that was 10 years ago. You see another miracle. I want to see the manifestation of the Lord. I want to see the Holy Ghost move through this place in life. I want to see forgiveness. I want to see the bonds be thrown off, man, and the people rise up. Let people become who they are supposed to be, healed and put back together in their right mind with strength and the power of God to give Him glory. Let's get thirsty. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. But Jesus goes on to say over there in Matthew 5, how are you going to get them thirsty? You are the salt of the earth. Does salt make you thirsty? My goodness. You are the salt of the earth. But he says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how shall it be made salty again? Whew. Have we lost our saltiness? Have we lost our flavor? Why aren't we seeing these things? We need to. Look what he says. He says, it is from then on good for nothing. I don't know about y'all, but when I read that part, it said, but from then on, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled under the foot of man. I don't know if y'all have ever been called that, but I've been called that before. You good for nothing? There's some other explicitness to come out after that. You know what? I probably accepted those words. I know I accepted those words. I believe those words. But it says, but now repent and believe unto the Lord God for the forgiveness of your sins. Be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What do you want to believe today? Have you lost your saltiness? Listen, when you call yourself a Christian now, people just turn their heads and walk away. What does it say? It's being trampled under the foot of man. The good news of Christ is being trampled under the foot of man. We're just going to let it keep doing that? Or are we going to change the way we think? Or are we going to turn from those things? Paul wrote over there, he says, I beg of you. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, but be not conformed to the things of man or of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then that is your reasonable act of service. Then he goes on to say that now you will be what? He said that now that you will prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You will prove it. They won't have to roll their eyes at you anymore. They can't trample on the truth. They can't trample on the power of God. Man, the power of God is moving through here. I'm telling you, the scriptures and everything, the songs that come through here today. There is a time of repentance at hand right now. I didn't say condemnation. Because it tries to slip right in there. As soon as we start to try to repent and change the way we think, to come and be baptized full of the Holy Ghost. We need that baptism. We need the baptism of Jesus Christ. Not a baptism of John, but a baptism of Jesus Christ. Not a baptism of water, but a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Fire! We have to have it. Have you ever, as a child or growing up, been playing in the sheets? Throw your sheets over your head. Anybody ever done that? What happened when you flipped the sheets back over after a little while? What was the air like then? Was it fresh? Come on. talk to me. Can I take you there right now? Pull the sheets over your head just for a little while. You keep breathing the stagnant, same breath. But he said, now I'm giving you a fresh breath. Repent, for the times of refreshing is at hand. Throw the sheets off. Whew. But it's better than downy fresh. Throw those sheets back off and feel that breath of God blow one more time. Randy, play that thing, because I think he's welcome here. The Spirit of God is welcome here. I think there's a time of refreshing at hand. I believe that we need a new renewing, a pouring out of the Spirit of God inside of us. I believe that let you know right now that you are forgiveness, that there is forgiveness in this house today that's going to loose those bonds that so the Spirit can take over and fill you up to release you into the destiny that He so perfectly created you for. I don't care if they've called you good for nothing. You are good for something, because something has created you for something, for His purpose, for His glory, and it's not going to stop just because somebody says so. It's not going to stop because a man thinks he can step on you. He cannot do it. He says the heel will stomp the head of the serpent. It's the power of God for healing. It's the power of God for life. It's the power of God for reconciliation, to bring you back to who you really are. It's the power of God. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Where is it gone? Has it gone anywhere? Is it still here? Can we manifest it now? Yes. Repent. And believe. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is He welcome in your place? He wants to invade you. He's tired of stepping on toes. He wants to penetrate your heart. They said when Peter was speaking, he said His words pierced their hearts. Full of the presence of God, the anointing. I don't need a man to teach me. The word says it's the anointing that will teach you. If you're looking at the man, you're going to miss it anyway. If that man don't have the manifestation of the Spirit of God, the anointing upon him, you will be in your same sins. You will still be in your same bondages. You don't have the power to forgive you and to release you from those bondages, to take you into a higher calling. But if that man is full of the Spirit of God, my goodness, that Spirit, that anointing will release you into who you are supposed to be. It is time. There's a crying. Paul wrote over there in Romans 8. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. Hebrews tells us, let us shed off the things, the sins and the things, the bondage that entangles us. And let us run the race that's set before us. I'm ready to run. Who's running with me? Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus. But I'm telling you what, it's time. This altar's over. If you're ready, it's open. It's time to come. Listen, if you're not running faster than I am in this race, you're going to be following me. But that's okay. I'm following Jesus. It is His name. It is His character. It is His sonship. God bless you. Right now, there's healing. There's life. There's power. There is the kingdom of God that is in hand. Be made whole. Be made whole. Nevertheless, stop settling for it. Stop settling for less. It's not about the big houses and the big cars and those dreams. Those things go to the wayside. Forsake all things and follow Christ. Let him show you who he really is and who you are. You do what you're supposed to do. You have a work to do. And that work is to believe. Believe on who he has sent. Today is a day that you will mark down. If you are honest and transparent, then you will know that you have been forgiven. Then the Spirit of God will invade you, and it will change you. It will ruin you, and he will create you into the likeness of his image. And you will walk this earth for his glory. Thank you, Lord. Times like this, it don't stop. Okay? If y'all want to just say, hey, let's go eat, whatever. Listen, this does not stop. I wish I could say, I'm telling you, when I was sitting over there and the power of God was moving, I said, man, we don't even need to do announcements. We just need to keep flowing. This is the life of the living water. Jesus stood up and he cried out. He said, anybody who thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And from his heart or from his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what that means right quick? Zeo is living, which means breath. Water, hador, which means a fountain or a river of water. Hydro, what does it mean? It's where we get our word hydrate. You need to get hydrated. Let's get the real water, though. The one that won't leave you aimlessly looking around. That will want you to thirst and hunger. Jesus said, hey, you don't follow me just for the miracles and the signs. You follow me because you've tasted and it's good. But if you don't taste, if you don't drink, you won't know what you're missing. You won't have that encounter. So then repentance will never be able to keep. And John the Baptist said, if you do not keep with repentance, the axe is already laid to the roots. You got to abide, grow up, become who you truly are in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you right now. Everyone who's stepping forward, everyone who's rising up, Lord, saying that your presence, your spirit is welcome here. Not in this place, Lord, but in this heart, in this vessel, in this life. You are life. You are everything. Let's throw it all down, Lord, because what we have is nothing without you, and all we have with you is everything. Lord, let it be under your children. Let it be under your people, if you had said. Allow your spirit to come forth. Flow, the rivers flow inside of each and every one of them today, Lord. Let this be that transition. Let this be that encounter that we need to finally break the bondage of anything that's trying to hold us back, Lord. Lay your idols down. Lay it all down. You are welcome here, Lord, and we praise you. Let revival break out in each and every heart. Man can't put up a sign and say, here's revival. No, God, you do it in the work of the hearts of your children, and then that's what manifests your kingdom. That's what allows them to see who you are and believe in eternal life. That's what makes a city on a hill, Lord God, so people can see your glory. Father, we praise you. I thank you for this time. Whatever has been done here, Lord, today, you and them know. And that's really all that needs to know right now. But Lord, if it is truly who you are and who they are and everything is real right now, then others will know shortly. They, people, will know that you have done a work in them. I seen a little testimony. I love testimonies. Of a sergeant fighting in the war. He said that night when they got back to camp, he said there were soldiers lined up out of his bunk. He said they didn't want to know about this and want to know about that. They said they want to know about Jesus, because they seen in that fight, in that war that they just went in, that there was a changed man. And it was Jesus that worked in his life. And they wanted to know about Jesus Christ. Not what he had to make him strong. Not how many push-ups he did. Not how many hours of training that he did on his weapon. What about that encounter that you had with Jesus Christ? Common people. Common people. But they know they have been with Jesus. And look, it don't stop there. And I know that Jesus is still with them in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is alive and well. Let him continue to ramp up inside of you like that fountain. Let it be in Jesus' name. Have you tasted and seen? My goodness. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.